And good evening. Welcome in to the Strike Zone Podcast. I am Joe Hunk. You can follow me on Twitter at Joe Hunk. In fact, you can follow me on Twitter for a lot of things. In fact, baseball, television, wrestling, a lot of things that we can talk about. But tonight, the important thing that we are talking about is the Major League Baseball trade deadline. Now, before we get into this, make sure that you follow 104.5 The Zone on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, Facebook. Make sure that you go and like our page. All of those places you can watch, catch up on everything that we are doing. 104.5 The Zone. I know that this specific podcast is all talking baseball, but if you want to find out about what's going on with the Titans, if you want to find out what is going on with the Preds, every bit of that is over on all of our social media feeds. Follow us on Instagram as well. We are throwing out amazing content when it comes to the Tennessee Titans in day two of training camp. So make sure that you go over there and give that a follow. And of course, follow all of our podcasts on, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, no matter where you are, to follow and support. Our man Will does an amazing job with the daily podcast. So plenty of things for you to catch up on and watch. If for some reason you're not able to watch the Strike Zone podcast or anywhere else, if you're not able to catch up on Blaine and Mickey, whether it's J. Martin Ramon or Buck Rising or even 3HL, all of those you can watch right there. But just like every single Thursday night, as we get going, you can always throw in your comments, your chats, your questions, no matter where you are in the world. We've got our chat pulled up right now. In fact, we've already got some questions that are already coming in about the Major League Baseball trade deadline. And I'm only saying this because if you are listening to this on Friday or even after the trade deadline, we are doing this on Thursday night. It is about 9:09 Central Time. And I have to be that specific because within the hour, we're most likely going to have some more trades that are going to take place because tonight has been extremely active. In fact, I've got my phone pulled up right now and I'm keeping track of everything that is happening. And obviously the big one that has happened so far has been the fact that Max Scherzer is a LA Dodger. And I will tell you, that was not the case while we were doing 3HL this afternoon. In fact, during the 3 o'clock hour, we were told Scherzer is basically going to San Diego. The players and the pieces of the trade have been agreed upon and he is going to be a San Diego Padre. So that is what we went with. In fact, if you listen and you hear our top of the hour updates, we were talking about that at 4 o'clock and at 5 o'clock. Max Scherzer is a San Diego Padre. That was what it is. Now, by the time I got home, it was Max Scherzer and Trey Turner are now an LA Dodger. And you're just going, wait, whoa, what happened? Now, we don't have the specifics of everything when it comes to the Scherzer deal. What we do know is that Max Scherzer has a no-trade clause. Now, for weeks, we'd been told that both LA and San Diego were on his list of teams that he would approve a trade to. Now, I don't know if over the course of the last few hours, if he got an opportunity and both teams were on the floor or were both teams were on with the general manager. He had both trades in front of him and he said, yeah, I'm going to choose LA. We're going to go to LA. We're going to go back and we're going to try to get LA a second championship back to back. And what many people actually would believe that would be the Dodgers' first legitimate College World Series, but World Series championship, because a lot of people don't acknowledge the 2020, but that has been the big one so far. And that one, look, the Padres, and I even tweeted it out. You can follow me at Joe Hunk. I saw it. I retweeted it and I said, the Padres are going for it. They're going to be the World Series champions with Max Scherzer in that pitching rotation. An hour later, everything changed. Every single bit of this changed. And so that's what makes the trade deadline so much fun, right now. Now, the other things that are happening, and continue getting those questions in. We're about to get going on the questions here in a few seconds. But the other trades that have happened, Anthony Rizzo, which was a longtime Cub who was a part of the Chicago Cubs World Series team in 2016. He is gone. He is now a New York Yankee. Trust me. Look, as you can tell, based on what is sitting over here, you can tell kind of what I feel about the way that the Yankees are doing and going about this trade deadline. They are making a lot of offensive moves. Offense isn't their problem right now. Just saying. So that'll be some stuff that we're going to be getting into. Josh, how's it going, bro? I appreciate you hopping in as well. The other thing is there is another Cub that has been traded. Tepera is the one that has been traded literally down the street. Okay. If you've ever been to Chicago, there is, I want to say it's the Red Line. The Red Line in Chicago will take you to Guaranteed Rate Stadium. I almost called it US Cellular. I almost called it Kaminsky. It'll take you to Guaranteed Rate Stadium. And if you stay on it and you go north, it'll take you directly to Wrigley Field. Tepera now is going to be getting on that and heading directly south. He doesn't have to change where he's living. He doesn't have to change anything else except for the fact that instead of going north, he's now going south. That is it. That is a big, 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 big get for the White Sox, okay? And that is where the White Sox are doing stuff that the Yankees should be doing, but the Yankees are not. Because if you look at right now the best pitching teams in baseball, the Yankees, when it comes to playoff teams, are like the last, if not very close to the last. And first off, let's talk about the Yankees, because at the moment, they are 9 games back of the Boston Red Sox, okay? When it also comes to the wild card, they're 3 games back of that. So I'm assuming that they're considering themselves a wild card team, which is the reason why they are buying. The problem with this is, and I wanted to make sure that I pulled this up so that I can literally read verbatim when it comes to pitching and where the New York Yankees are ranked, okay? So here are all the teams that are in front of the Yankees right now when it comes to ERA. Let's just start with ERA. Dodgers, right now they're the one of the wild card teams. Brewers, leading the NL Central. Giants, leading the NL West. Rays, one of the wild card teams in the AL. You have the Padres, one of the wild card teams in the NL. The Marlins are oddly up there, but that's also because of Kevin Rogers, and he's been pitching great. Mets. That is one of your NL East leader right now. White Sox, that's the AL Central leader right now. Astros, there's the AL West leader as well. And then you get to the Oakland A's, which is the team that is in front of the Yankees right now when it comes to ERA. What is his name? Four of the teams? How many teams even make the playoffs now in 2021? You've got your 3 teams from the division, your 3 leaders in your playoffs. So four. We're looking at 9. There's only 10 teams that make the playoffs in both leagues. 10 total. And the Yankees are one of the worst ones that are considered a playoff team right now. Okay. When you look at the only team right now in Major League Baseball that they have a better ERA than is the Boston Red Sox. And the reason why the Boston Red Sox are doing so well is because of the amazing hitting that they have. So maybe that's what the Yankees are trying to do, but we'll get more into that later because we've got some more people hopping in with some questions. So Michael says, what do you feel about Tepera going to the Chicago White Sox? Look, this White Sox team, regardless with what you think about Tony La Russa, this is a playoff team right now. This is the reason that this White Sox team has been built the way that it is. And honestly, they are going about this at the exact same way the Chicago Cubs have. Look, as much as some people don't like to talk about it or like to think about it, the way that Theo Epstein built the Chicago Cubs is kind of the way that you're seeing most teams now get built. You come in with young hitting, very young hitting. These guys that you're getting on your rookie year or your rookie deal where it's going to be 4 or 5 years of control, sometimes six. If you start you talking about your, when they're bringing them up into the major leagues and all this other stuff. So you have that. And then what you do is you fill your pitching staff with veteran pitchers. Look exactly at what the San Diego Padres are doing right now. Look, that is the smart way to go. It's very rare for a team to have the homegrown pitching and then also have homegrown hitting. You're going to have veteran on one side or the other. You're either going to have a veteran hitting team or defense, or you're going to have a veteran pitching staff. And right now, the veteran pitching staff style with the rookie hitters or the young hitters is really what you're starting to see with the Chicago White Sox. Look at how young that team is offensively, and the veteran leadership from Lance Lynn as one of the aces on the team. They are going with, matter of fact, I think Dallas Keuchel's even on the team. Like, you're talking about a lot of veterans on this. And that is the direction that they are going, because in the playoffs, and this is specifically for the playoffs, listen, Yankees fans, for the playoffs, I ain't talking to you. So in the playoffs, it's going to be about the veteran pitching. You do not want young pitchers, unless they're surrounded by veteran pitchers, to be able to pitch. Go and look at what the Houston Astros did in 2017, regardless as to what you think about the trash cans. Okay. Dallas Keuchel was probably going to be one of the few rookie / young pitchers, and they surrounded him with Charlie Morton. They surrounded him with Justin Verlander. And even though you had Dallas Keuchel as one of the best pitchers on that team, he was one of the few young pitchers when it comes to starting. You look, go back to 2016 with the Cubs. Exact same way. Maybe Kyle Hendricks was really the youngest pitcher on that staff when it came to playoff experience, but then they had Leiter, and then you had Jake Arrieta, which had been in the league for a while, long time with Baltimore before he actually went to the Cubs, and Lester was the important cog to that, because he was that piece that was able to kind of calm the rest of the pitching staff down. And then they added Chapman at the very end of the season, which was another veteran pitcher that they were able to solidify the back end of that bullpen because of Rondon. So every single year you can look at this, and it does work and doesn't work. Go back to 2015 with the New York Mets. 2015, the New York Mets had arguably the best pitching staff in baseball. I still say that if those pitchers would have stayed healthy, you would have seriously had to go in every single series having to worry about DeGrom, Matt Harvey, which at the time he was good, but then he just didn't want to work. Then Noah Syndergaard, and you were going to have to face at least two of those three every single series. And that was going to be one of the toughest teams in baseball. They had a young pitching staff with a veteran offense, and it didn't really mesh that well. And that's the reason why that season you saw the Kansas City Royals win it. Look at the Kansas City Royals team. Look at how young those players are. Look, and Eric Hosmer is doing this now in San Diego. And that's how long he's been there. But they had Mike Moustakas. They had Eric Hosmer. They had Lorenzo Cain in center field. They had a lot of young offensive players. And then they brought in the veteran pitching, Johnny Cueto, and those types of pitchers that helped them win. That's where it kind of is going with the veteran pitchers. So to see some of these teams making very smart moves when it comes to pitching, that's the reason why your Milwaukee Brewers are setting themselves up very well, which they did make a move offensively. But if you were watching and listening to the Strike Zone podcast last week, you saw where we kind of talked about the fact that the Brewers are going to need to improve offensively, because pitching wise, team is set. Josh, how's it going, bro? I appreciate it. Josh is part of a baseball league that I am on with MLB The Show. Look, I told you I'm an MLB The Show player. I will play it all day long. And he's one of the guys in there. So is Zach and Joey that's hopping in as well. So we appreciate that. Bethany asked, do you think the Braves will do anything? And I do believe that they are going to do something, being that they are four games behind the Mets. And in all reality, this Braves team played amazingly well against the Mets. all things considered, the one game that you lost in the doubleheader, the 1-0 loss, that was just a fantastic pitching performance by both pitchers, by both. The Braves got the win today. They obviously lost one of the other games, but they took the series 3-2, and now they're only 4 games back. I was really hoping that the Braves were going to be more around the line of about 3 games back and not 4 for me to be comfortable with them going for it. But in all honesty, 4 games back means that most likely the Braves are going to be buyers. In fact, over the course of the last few days, there have been rumors going around that the Braves were going to be buyers, but they were going to be very smart with who they bought. And honestly, if the Braves are going to be smart about this, and I'm looking and I'm thinking that maybe it's just my hopes and dreams, but I really feel like it's a good sign for Braves fans that Kimbrel is not off the board. And that is where, honestly, there's two players right now that I'm looking at that could really help the Braves. And unfortunately, both of them are on the Cubs team. And I think to get those two players, the Braves are going to have to give up prospects. And I mean, your high quality prospects. I don't know if they're talking about a Christian Pache type prospect or a Drew Waters type prospect. Or even look, let's be honest, even Contreras, because down in Gwinnett right now, he has been on fire. And I don't know if it's going to take something like that, because that's what the Cubs are going to want back. Jed Hoyer is a disciple of Theo Epstein. And so he's going to want to get these prospects in return, because that's what the Cubs are going to be doing. The reason why I say the two biggest players that the Braves could get, because look, there's a part to this Braves story that has not been talked about right now. And it's because it is the trade deadline. It's because right now we're somewhere around 18 to 17 hours away from the deadline being over with. But in a world, let's just go, in a world where the Braves are going to go for it, if you, for some reason, want to do this, you trade for Kimbrel and Chris Bryant in a package. You put Chris Bryant at third base. You put Austin Riley back in the outfield, or flip-flop it. Chris Bryant has played the outfield. You put Chris Bryant in the outfield. You add yourself a bat, which is what the Braves need. You add yourself a closing pitcher, which we all know as a Braves fans that they need closing pitching. Okay, that is not something that we're all wondering. Oh, do you think they could really get by? No. Put Will Smith in the 8th inning. Put Green in the 7th inning. Put Kimbrel in the 9th. You've got a 7-8-9 that can get. Look, even if you get these two players, you are still running the risk of this not being enough. Now, there is another piece to this, and I'm genuinely saying this because all things are changing now. If you have not heard today, the charges against Marcell Ozuna have been bumped from a felony to a misdemeanor, which means no jail time, nothing of those sorts. Now, I don't know where he is with the hand. I really do not. And I understand when you're talking about the domestic violence and what took place and what all goes on with this. Now, I'm not talking about this from a human standpoint as far as if you agree or disagree, but if the charges are not anything that Major League Baseball sees anything wrong with, which they still can, if it's nothing that the Braves see is too major when it comes to a PR stunt, which they could, and if Ozuna did come back to and get back into this lineup for the last 40 to 50 games or the last 30 games or whatever it is, then you have Ozuna in left field or right field. You have Chris Bryant in the other position, flip-flop him wherever you want to. And then you have one of these guys that's been filling in, whether it's Jacques Peterson, Almonte, whoever it is. Those would be another cog in this. And now you've got two bats and you now have yourself a very good lineup that could, in all reality, get you through the NLDS. And I say NLDS because the Braves are not going to win the wild card, or they're not going to be one of the two wild card teams. They are going to have to go the route of winning the division and beating the Mets, which they absolutely can. This is not a great Mets team. You saw it this weekend. The Braves, with the bats that they have right now, are still a team that can win this division, which is crazy. And I mean, just absolutely, I'm turning the hat around, is absolutely crazy to think that with this team, with the injuries, with the trouble, with everything that is going on, the Braves could still make some sort of move that they could be right in this race when it comes with the MLB trade deadline in the NL East. I am not saying that the Braves should bring Ozuna back. I do not have the full details because this is something that honestly, until today, we had not heard anything about. It had been quiet, 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 quiet. And now we just found out that it went from a felony to a misdemeanor. And so I don't know what it means about fines, community service, or anything along those lines. But if this is something that Ozuna, the Braves, and Major League Baseball all could agree upon when it comes to him coming back, then that could be another bat for the Braves. It would be a very big bat. Now, the PR on that would be just... Ooh. That would be extremely ugly, and I mean very ugly. The good thing is that as of right now, and I emphasize as of right now, while we are talking right now, Chris Bryant is still a Cub, Kimbrel is still a Cub, and those are the biggest ones. We know the Cubs are going to be sellers, but who could they be trading for? Now look, we know now about Max Scherzer. Joey Gallo has went to the Yankees. Yankees, have fun with that. He's going to strike out a ton, but he may hit some bombs for you. Brad Hand has already went to the Toronto Blue Jays. That happened earlier today. That is some of the early stuff when it comes to the trade deadline that has happened so far on this Thursday, going into what is going to be a very interesting night, because the Braves will not play before the trade deadline happens. Mostly, I want to say all but maybe a couple of games have already been played so far tonight. So when you're looking at standings and things along those lines, then all the teams, everything is happening. Right now, Boston and Toronto are playing, and Boston is getting their tail kicked. And the other games that are going on is San Diego, Colorado, as well as Oakland and LA. And Oakland's probably going to be a buyer. LA is a seller. Colorado should be a seller because we're still trying to see if Trevor Story is going to be doing anything and if they're going to be trading him. But other than that, all other teams are done. And as we're talking, this is what's so weird. As we're talking, I'm continuing to have to update my Twitter feed as I'm talking to you because of how crazy this Max Scherzer deal has been, because originally he was going to San Diego, and I don't know if Scherzer said no to the deal. I don't know if he saw the fact that Trey Turner was going to be able to go with him to Los Angeles, and they said, all right, well, if that's happening, then I'd rather go there. And so those are some of the questions that I do have right now. As of this very second, there's no other trades happening. But if you are a Braves fan, let's go through some of these. Bethany says, I would hate to see Drew leave. He went to the same school I went to. Okay, she's talking about Drew Waters. So absolutely. Look, I personally believe that the Braves should call Drew Waters up because of how well he has been performing in the minor leagues. Pache has been struggling. I haven't been able to keep up with his stats for at least this week, but for the past 2 or 3 weeks, he's still been struggling. But hey, Touki Toussaint struggled for all except for one start in the minor leagues, and he's pitched two tremendous games for the Braves so far. So that may be something like that. Bethany also adds, but I'd rather the team get the title. See, that's where this is very hard when you're talking about being a Braves fan. Do you want the Braves to try to go for the NL East this year, or do you want to see if they are willing to trade some pieces. Charlie Morton probably the best piece that they could potentially trade and try to get something back that can potentially help them next season. Maybe get a reliever that is worth a little bit more, maybe get a couple of years of control like the Yankees are getting with Joey Gallo, who they don't only have for this year, but they also have for next year. What are you wanting to do? Joey asked, what do you think about a move for Marte? He basically will be the cost of what we have been paying Ender for the past few years, 3 years of control left. And Marte actually got traded yesterday from the Marlins to the Oakland A's. And that was one of the earlier deals that happened. I believe there were a couple of trades that happened yesterday because the trade deadline has been extremely quiet. And if you don't know how the Major League Baseball trade deadline happens, the way this is, Cattell from Arizona. My bad. I thought you were talking about Marte from the Marlins. I apologize. And so the way that this happens with general managers is tonight they are gathering every single one of their trade offers, and they have got, it's almost like instead of sending a group text, it's like when you were single and you were laying there and you were sitting there and you're like, all right, who's up? And you would send the exact same text messages to to 10 different girls. Lady, Bethany, I'm sorry you got to hear this, but this is kind of the best analogy you have. I'm really sorry. But you would send the same text message to 10 different girls and you would wait to see which one replied back with a, hey, how's it going? Or, hey, what's up? Or something along those. And then once you got all the text messages back that you were going to get that night, you then go, yeah, I like her. Let's talk to her. Yes, ladies, I know that's watching right now. I'm letting you inside the male mind, but yes, that does happen. Okay. It absolutely does happen. All right. And all the guys that are in the chat right now sending the laughing emojis, they're laughing because they know it happens. Okay. And they're laughing because they've done it and they know for a fact that that is exactly what they did when it's about 10:30 at night. If you're a baseball person watching this right now, you're probably playing MLB The Show. I've got it pulled up right now. You're probably playing MLB The Show and you were sitting there and you're like, man, I am bored. Let's do this. So in Major League Baseball, that is the equivalent. Okay. All of these general managers have sent out the text messages. Hey, this guy's available. What do you want to give us? Or these guys are available. What do you want to give us? And boom, 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 boom. They get all these in and they're going to continue to wait until tomorrow morning, tomorrow afternoon at about 1 or 2 o'clock. And then they're going to say, all right, that's the deal that we're going to go with. Call them, let them know, get out the computer, insert it into Major League Baseball's special website that we have for them that allows us to put these trades in. We have agreed upon this. Make sure that you hit that send button before 3 p.m. Central Time. That is what's going to happen. So now that some of these potential players have fallen in line, you've seen Joey Gallo get traded. Matt Scherzer has been traded. I still cannot believe that Trey Turner got traded because that man is an absolute monster. I love Trey Turner in real life and on MLB The Show. But you're looking at all these different players and you're saying, okay, what do we do? Now, Cattell Marte, which was who we just got asked about just now. Now, if you don't know who he is, he's 27 years old. He's only played in about 35, 36 games for the Arizona Diamondbacks right now. He is batting almost 400. He's batting about 370 right now. He has a slug, or he should say an OPS. OPS is kind of that new stat that people look at, okay? Because OPS is going to be things that you put together when it's going to be your on-base percentage, your slugging percentage, combined, that is what you're going to be looking at for those. The thing about him, he's very smart at the plate. He doesn't strike out much. He does get some walks. He's a very young pitcher, or not a very young player right now, that has played outfield. And that could be somebody that is going to be going and playing right now for this. Now, let me look at Marte's contract, because I believe that he is still on a rookie deal. And that could be one of the things that could be make him very appealing. But at the moment, looking right now, he is not on his rookie deal. He is currently on a 5-year, $24 million deal. But if the team was looked to trade for him, they get him for 3 full seasons, because he will not be an unrestricted free agent until 2025. That would be very, very hard for a team to pull from the Diamondbacks, unless you were talking about the potential of having him, or the potential of getting some major prospects, because he started off his career with Seattle. He's played a few seasons, matter of fact, majority of his career with the Arizona Diamondbacks. He's only been a home run hitter really kind of one time. That was the 2019 season, where he had 32 home runs. Obviously, you never really look at the 2020 season, because that's not really going to give you a good essence of how he hits. But with Arizona, he batted .329. Last year, he did bat .287, so it was a major drop. But this year, he's batting .370, so you're going to get a good contact hitter. He's only stolen a few bases, so you're not talking about a major base stealer. But that's what we're talking about, Ketel Marte. He's an infielder, but he's been playing outfield for the Diamondbacks. In fact, for the Diamondbacks, he has played mostly center field. He's also played some shortstop, he's played second base for them as well. And other periods of times, he's played shortstop, he's played center field, he's played right field. So majority of the time, you're going to look at him as a utility player. Think a better Johan Camargo is the best way to go. He is a very high average guy. Joey is right. Very high average, very high contact. He's going to put the ball in play. He's going to be very smart at the plate. The biggest thing for him is, will these teams be able to put together a package that would get somebody like a Marte? Look, ending the Ender Inciarte tenure at the Braves, when the Braves got him from the Diamondbacks, that was a major get. Gold Glove outfielder. That was also a part of the Dansby Swanson trade. So you had a Gold Glove outfielder. You got a future franchise shortstop, which is what Dansby Swanson has been. Two amazing, amazing locker room guys. And that is why you're looking at it. Now, Jeff, thank you, Jeff, for bringing this up. Okay. He says that he thinks that it's crazy that the Rays have traded Rich Hill and Diego Castillo. Now, I have this belief when it comes to the Tampa Bay Rays, and Brent and I were talking about this on 3HL off the air, because him and I will talk baseball a ton off the air. But Rich Hill and his history so far this season, he has been, outside of Tyler Glasnow, he has been the best pitcher for the Tampa Bay Rays. So you're thinking, why did they, and really, seriously, they traded Rich Hill away. They traded Diego Castillo, who was the second best bullpen pitcher for the Tampa Bay Rays. Why are they doing this? Now, I love talking about the Tampa Bay Rays with people in Nashville, because I say this last week, and I'll say it every single time we talk about the Tampa Bay Rays. I think the Tampa Bay Rays will 95% chance in my head, the Rays will eventually become Nashville's baseball team. I just truly believe that. So I love talking about the Rays, because it helps people in Nashville learn about the team that I believe is about to become their team in the next 3 or 4 years. But the Rays are always, and I cannot emphasize this enough, the Rays are always the smartest team in the room. They always are. they know when to cut bait. Rich Hill is, how old is he, like 43? Like, how old is Rich Hill? Rich, 41. I really wasn't that far. I was joking when I said 43. Rich Hill, 41 years old. The Braves had him, or the Rays had him on like a one-year deal. He was really coming in to be a complimentary pitcher. And instead, he has been, because of Glasnow's injuries, Rich Hill has been the best pitcher on the Rays staff outside of Glasnow. Are you going to sign him for when he's 42? Are you going to sign him when he's 43? Like, yes, he's reinvented himself. He's been a positive help to this baseball team. But this Rays team, who is arguably one of the most creative teams in baseball, they brought in the shift. Well, no, the Anaheim Angels brought in the shift, but Joe Maddon brought in the shift. They've started, they did the opener. They've went with that softball outfield where they have four, and they've got the four outfielders. They have all of that, okay? They continue to come up with different ways to be the best team in baseball. And they are one of the best teams year in and year out. They're going to win 90 plus games again for the third year in a row. What they are doing is they can see that with Castillo and with Rich Hill, they have the ability to trade these off, get yourself some help, get these players in the Rays organization, and they have got arms galore in the minor league system. They have got bats. Again, they just traded a couple of months ago Willy Adames because they had to bring up Wander Franco. Do you know how many years Rays fans and teams inside of that minor league system had been wondering, what are the Rays going to do when they have Willy Adames that's in the major leagues and Wander Franco that is ready? And we got our answer. They got rid of Willy Adames because of the years of control, even though he was on it. He was still on like his rookie deal. They brought in Wander Franco. They got younger, better, faster with bringing Wander Franco up. So that is what the Rays do. They will cut bait quickly because what they're going to get back in return is going to be better for them. So if I'm a general manager and I'm sitting there on a Thursday night like we are right now, and I look at my phone and I just go, oh crap, the Tampa Bay Rays are calling. I'm like, guys, you ever, my wife's actually right across the hall, so she's not going to hear me say this. Guys, do you ever get that phone call from your wife and you instantly hear the tone in her voice, and next thing you know is you go through a checklist of 500 things that you may or may not have done or should not have done, or that she asked you to do that you cannot remember that you did? How many times has that happened? That is exactly what a general manager goes through whenever the Tampa Bay Rays call. Oh, crap. The Rays are calling. Okay, what prospect have we not paid attention to enough that they know something about that we do not? Hey, what pitcher is pitching something? Look at spin rates. Look at everything. OPS plus. Look at all this stuff. I need to know who are our best assets for the future, because the Tampa Bay Rays are calling, and I have a feeling that they're going to try to screw us over in some deal, and we don't know it just yet. Oh, yeah. Hey, how's it going? Oh, okay. Yeah, no. I think we may be able to look at, hey, is that guy any good? Where the Rays have already done all their research and they just know, look, man, I promise you, we get this guy into our system. We change a couple things. We tweak a couple things. This guy's going to be an everyday starter. That's what's going to happen, because that's what happens with the Tampa Bay Rays. And not only do they do that, they then turn around and they're winning 90 plus games and they're making it to the World Series and the ALCS. It happens every single season, and they are the smartest team in baseball. And if there were other teams that had the guts, the huevos, the melons, whatever you want to say, they would pay attention to what the Rays are doing and they would do this. Pittsburgh, Kansas City. I would even say Cleveland, Detroit is starting to pay attention to that. That's the reason why they've been playing so much better now. You can look, Oakland obviously is already doing this. Colorado, you can look at even Miami. All of these teams that are small market teams need to be paying attention to what the Rays are doing, and specifically at the trade deadline. Do you know how crazy it sounds to go, yeah, we're going to trade our best starter? Glasnow still on the injured list. Let's just trade our best starter now. Oh, we're only a game behind the Red Sox. Let's just trade our best bullpen pitcher. Yeah, no, we're good. We're good. Trust us. No, trust us. Trust us. And then they're going to go on this game. Do you not see what they're doing to the Yankees tonight? They're killing them. This is what the Rays do. And they're so brilliant with it. And every single person that works for that team is all on board. Look, when the Rays started to do the opener 2 years ago, I remember when they were calling back down through their minor league system and they were telling every one of their minor league teams, hey, we want you to start using the opener. Every single one of them. I want at least once during the series, maybe twice, I want you to use an opener. I want our relief pitchers to start getting used to having to have an opener mentality. I want our starters getting used to being able to come out of the bullpen and basically long relief. We want them to be ready because when they get to the major leagues, this is something that we believe in. They haven't just been doing it with the Rays and they said, all right, we're going to do it there, but Durham's doing something different. Montgomery's doing something different. Bowling Green's doing something different. Nope. Everybody's going to be doing the exact same thing. And Joey says, that's the race. They do it differently and it freaking works. It does. And it does because they are the smartest people in the room. It really is. They're the only team in almost professional sports. Look, baseball is not built for small market teams to have year in, year out success. Look at the Pirates. They made what? The NL wildcard game one time, like in the last 40 years since Sid Bream took his little fat booty tail around third base and slid into home. Like, that's it. The Kansas City Royals have made it to the playoffs two times, one of which winning the World Series and haven't done anything since. Look at the Cleveland Indians. Cleveland Indians were making it year in and year out when they were in the 90s. And then you started seeing sabermetrics and everything started to change at the start of the 2000s. And they just never were the exact same team. The Oakland A's, they continue to be successful because they are bringing and evolving and changing everything. The Rays are the exact same way. And in fact, the Rays are doing it even better. They are doing Billy Bean ball, money ball, better than what the Oakland A's are. Because they do allow their players to steal and some of the things that Billy Bean and Moneyball and his sabermetrics don't really allow. And same thing goes for Boston. Look, when the Boston Red Sox wanted Billy Bean to become their general manager, he said, no, look, you don't want me, you want this guy. They're like, he's only 28, 29 years old. His name is Theo Epstein? No, Theo Epstein. But guess what? The reason why the Boston Red Sox have done what they did, because they allowed their players to steal, and specifically Dave Roberts. So that's the way that these teams are. Now, Zach asks, I'm not understanding why the Yankees are dumb. And so, okay, I have a belief, and this is purely my belief, but looking at the way that the Yankees have played so far this season, offensive-wise, no. These offensive stats and their offensive numbers so far are not where you really want them to be, okay? When you look at how many RBIs this team have, the Yankees are probably, man, where are the Yankees? The Yankees are actually 26th in baseball when it comes to RBIs. That is almost, they have 384 RBIs going into tonight. That's almost 160 fewer RBIs than what the Houston Astros have. Okay. But here's the biggest kicker is I also look, and the Yankees are one of the top 10 teams in baseball when it comes to strikeouts. Home run wise, the Tampa, or you look at the New York Yankees right now. Here's where it's so crazy, because with the Yankees, they're 14th in baseball in home runs. They have Aaron Judge. They have Giancarlo Stanton. Now they have Joey Gallo. And this team is still 14th in baseball. The reason why I say that they're dumb is because they have had okay starting pitching. They have had tremendous bullpen work. Okay. Their bullpen is extremely solid. The problem with the Yankees, this has nothing to do, and this is it. This will sometimes happen. In my opinion, based on what I have seen, this has to do with the fact that something in the locker room isn't clicking. And they've added Rizzo, and Rizzo is an amazing locker room guy. He really, really is. But Rizzo is not the Anthony Rizzo of 2015. He's not the Anthony Rizzo of 16 or 17 or even 18 or 19. Rizzo is having a down year. Now, he started to play better as of late, which is why the Yankees decided to trade with him. And obviously, we all know, if we know baseball history, that the Yankees and Cubs will work together because Aroldis Chapman, Gleyber Torres, that deal. But they're not a playoff team. And their pride is the only reason that they're trying. I don't care that they're three games back. Every single team that is in front of them is better than them. They're better than them pitching-wise. They're better than them health-wise, for sure. Do you realize, and this is a legit question, do you realize the Yankees right now have played over 100 games so far? Right now, their record is 53-48 after tonight. Okay? That is 101 baseball games. Who has played the most games for the New York Yankees so far this season? It's DJ LeMahieu, and he's only missed 6 games. Obviously, he needs a break. Okay? That I totally get. Giancarlo Stanton, 80 games. He's missed over 20 games so far this season. Aaron Judge has only played 86 games. He's missed over 14 games this season. You continue to go through, and you've got so many players on this team that are not playing. Rougned Odor, who got traded to the Yankees earlier this season, has only played in 63 games so far this season. Gary Sanchez, because he strikes out way too much, kind of like the rest of the Yankees, but he has struck out in more times in games that he's actually played. He struck out 84 times. He's only played in 78 games. Guys, I know that a lot of my MLB The Show friends are on here because we have the group chat, and I shared this in there, and I appreciate you guys. But look, this is not MLB The Show. You cannot strike out that many times. You just cannot, and be successful. Giancarlo Stanton, 98 strikeouts. He's only played in 80 games. Aaron Judge, 93 strikeouts. He's only played in 86 games. You cannot win when you're playing this home run or bust baseball. It does not work. Aroldis Chapman has not been the same pitcher since Spider Tech. Gerrit Cole has not been the same pitcher since Spider Tech. Gerrit Cole got lit up tonight in his game. Lit up. That is the new Gerrit Cole. So the reason why the Yankees are dumb is they should be sellers, because there is a locker room issue. In my opinion, based on looking on the outside, because with this amount of talent, with DJ LeMahieu, which is like a career 330 hitter, maybe an over-exaggeration, I don't have the number in front of me, but he's like a career 330 hitter. With him, with Giancarlo Stanton, which in all seriousness, if he could play 162 games for the Yankees, that man could challenge Barry Bonds' records. He has that power, and he has that ability. He just cannot stay healthy, even at the DH position. Aaron Judge cannot stay healthy. He's had that issue as well. Nobody, Gary Sanchez, cannot stop striking out. This Yankees team is not built properly. That is why they are dumb. Because what they should have done and should do, which they're not, because they're obviously buying by adding Rizzo and by adding Joey Gallo, by adding these players, they're again, hey fans, we're going to do this. And maybe Joey Gallo and Anthony Rizzo can come in and make that locker room fun. Because if you don't know some of the things Anthony Rizzo has done for the Cubs to try to lighten the mood, you need to go read the book, A Cub Way. I believe that's what it's called. It's the book about the 2016 Cubs. Oh my God. Some of the things that he did is absolutely hilarious. But he's a great locker room guy. So maybe that can fix the issue. But right now, this team should not be buying. And that's what they're doing instead. Let me double check before I hop off of here that no other trades have taken place. I know it's 10 o'clock at night Central Time, and so I'm double checking by going through my thread real fast. All right. There is a new trade that has taken place as we are wrapping up right now. The Boston Red Sox have made a trade. They have acquired Kyle Schwarber from the Washington Nationals, the man that was on an absolute hair earlier in the season before the All-Star break, just straight smashing. Again, go back and play MLB The Show. He is the June 99 overall player, and if you get him, oh, your team is so stacked. So stacked. But you also got to get Tommy Pham to hit like 3 extra base hits, and it is annoying trying to hit with him. So that was the deal that was just made a minute ago. Kyle Schwarber has been traded to the Boston Red Sox. Now, that's not saying what the Nationals are. Look, the Nationals are smart. They're actually trading, and they're building up their prospects and their minor league system because they know they cannot win the NL East. They're way too far. And look, the NL West is going to be just like what the AL East was back in the early 2000s with the Yankees and the Red Sox. Those are your World Series teams. I would bet anything today, your World Series champion is either going to be LA or it's going to be San Diego. That is my full belief, and that's including the Houston Astros. San Diego, Los Angeles. I picked San Diego at the beginning of the year when I thought they were getting Max Scherzer earlier. I thought, that's it. That solidifies it. They're going to win the World Series. And then I don't know what happened, but instead of San Diego, he's going to LA. So that is where we're looking at as we are wrapping this up tonight. I appreciate everybody hopping in. I appreciate all the comments, all the chats wanting to talk about this. You can join us on the Strike Zone podcast again next Thursday night at 9 o'clock. Make sure that you go give us a like, give us a review, give us a share, everything that you can to spread the Strike Zone podcast into what we are trying to build this. We just got this going a couple of weeks ago. So I really appreciate everybody hopping in and watching, and make sure that you join us next Thursday night. Now, if you were not able to watch the whole show or listen to the whole show, we will have it up on our 104.5 The Zone Twitter feed, as well as our 104.5 The Zone podcast feed as well on Zone Podcast. You can also go and follow the Strike Zone podcast and watch or listen to that there. Like, rate, review, do everything that you possibly can. And to all of the people that have joined, thank you so much. We will talk to you next Thursday. Hopefully, if you are a Braves fan, and I know there's a lot of Braves fans watching, hopefully the Braves are about to make some moves overnight to try to improve that bullpen pitching. And yes, if it is Kimbrel, I'm going to be ecstatic. We will talk to you next Thursday night. Have a great night.